The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
Hola, estás escuchando el podcast Conference Talk. Cada fin de semana en este programa analizamos los discursos de la conferencia general más reciente de la Iglesia de Jesucristo de los Santos de los Últimos Días.
Welcome to Conference Talk, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Not actually in Spanish this time, but we did start in Spanish for a reason here. Each weekend on the show, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We'll have some fun, make some connections, share some insights, and talk about the remarkable words of our remarkable leaders of the church. I'm your host, Matthew Watkins, and today I'm joined by two very special guests. Two sister missionaries from my ward, the Franklin Third Branch, actually, Spanish branch here in Franklin, Tennessee. Sisters, introduce yourselves.
Hello, I am Sister Duke or Hermana Duke here. I'm a missionary here in Tennessee, and I'm from Utah.
Hey, I'm Hermana Howell or Sister Howell. I have only been here in Tennessee for 4 months, but I'm loving it so far, and I am also from Utah.
And these really are the coolest sister missionaries. We were very apprehensive as we're starting the podcast. And right as I was about to hit record, they got a phone call from the assistants. And what was the news that he shared?
We will be staying here in this area to serve for 6 more weeks. So we're so excited.
Sister Duke is a return sister missionary to our area. She served here. She got transferred, new mission president, and they got transferred back. And it is the coolest thing. So we are delighted to have them here doing this podcast. And today we're going to be discussing Elder Neil L. Anderson's talk from the April 2023 conference called My Mind Caught Hold Upon This Thought of Jesus Christ. Any sisters have had a chance to read it. What were your overall impressions and thoughts?
Honestly, I love just reading through it. I think it's kind of such a simple thought, right? That our minds would catch hold upon this Jesus Christ. And I love the story from Alma's life that it shared in it. But I especially love how it just applied having Jesus Christ in our thoughts to all aspect of our lives. I love how it was focusing on if we have him always in our thoughts, that it doesn't mean that every time we wake up in the morning, we think about Jesus Christ, and in everything we do, we think about Jesus Christ. But in a way it does. It means all our thoughts and actions are directed to him, and everything that we think and say and act, we do in his name. And I really enjoyed that.
Sister Duke, you going to back up the testimony of your companion?
I testify of the words of my companion. It is an incredible talk centered on Jesus Christ, and I'm excited to talk about some insights that I had throughout this as well.
So the first thing that jumped out to me is the title of his talk is about catching hold on Christ. He says, Alma caught hold upon the truths of Jesus Christ. If we were using the words caught hold upon in a physical sense, we might say, he caught hold upon the guardrail just as he was falling, meaning he reached out suddenly and tightly seized something solidly cemented to a secure foundation. I love when the general authorities fix our minds in the scriptures in a way that we never thought of it before. And it's almost like this forehead slapping duh moment where when I read the scriptures, I tend to just like translate everything down to super simple words. So when I was read Alma the Younger's experience catching hold on Jesus Christ, I was like, okay, so we thought about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right. But Elder Anderson saying, no, the wording in the Book of Mormon is very particular in a specific way to convey not just that something happened, but the emotion that it happened in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. I feel like sometimes in our lives we can think that we don't need that spiritual saving as much as we need maybe that physical saving. It'd be really natural to catch onto something if we were falling. And I feel like sometimes people forget that when we're falling spiritually, that we need to catch onto something that's as firm as Jesus Christ.
And I heard a Greek philosopher, I think it was Aristotle, maybe it was Plato, Socrates, I don't know. They're all the same in my mind. But one of them, a young man came to him saying, I want wisdom. Will you give me wisdom? He said, oh, you want wisdom, do you? And he brings him down to the riverbank, takes him down the water, baptizes him. Well, not baptizes him. He just holds him under the water. The guy's struggling, gasping, finally lifts him back up, takes a deep breath, down he goes again, does this several times. And the guy gets out of the river. What's wrong with you? You're crazy? He says, when you want wisdom as much as you wanted air, then you come and talk to me.
Oh, wow.
And I think sometimes maybe God's wanting us to experience that a little bit more in our lives as well. Like you said, to take the physical and start to actually put a bit of the pressure on our desires for the things that are spiritual as well. I mean, we see Enos, right? He said his soul hungered when he went and had his sort of Alma the Younger experience. Elder Anderson says, while our experiences may not be as dramatic as Alma's, they are nonetheless as eternally significant. Now, tell me truthfully, have you ever wished that maybe just once you could have an experience as dramatic as Alma the Younger?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be nice to have God just kind of shake you by the lapels? You know, and
definitely straighten us out a little bit.
When I read that, I was a little bit jealous. I'm like, you know, it wouldn't hurt, would it, to be like that? But instantly into my mind came the prophetic, wise voice of President Spencer W. Kimball, a.k.a. Yoda from Star Wars, where when Luke is like saying, oh, it's completely different to lift rocks with the Force versus to lift up the X-Wing out of the mud. If you haven't seen Star Wars, you're missing out on half the gospel, by the way. And Yoda says, no different, only different in your mind. And it sounds so patronizing when Yoda says, but Elder Anderson is kind of saying the same thing. When I read this quote, I thought of something I read recently from Elder Bednar in his book, The Spirit of Revelation. He says, the Spirit of the Lord usually communicates with us in ways that are quiet, delicate, and subtle. In other words, ways that don't get, you know, my attention. He says, for example, you may have an occasion where you forget to pray in the morning, and all of a sudden you hear in your mind the voice of your mother, who, when you were small, would say, remember your morning prayers. Why would God send an angel to deliver that message to you when the Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead who brings all things to your remembrance, can prompt a recollection of your angel mother reminding you to pray? The spiritual effect is the same.
No different.
And that's exactly what Elder Anderson's saying there. He's saying you don't have Alma the Younger experiences all the time. And actually, you don't need to. God can work amazing miracles in your life through the small and simple things. And even if they don't impress your mind as much, the spiritual effect is the same.
You know, I honestly think it's something that we talk about so much as missionaries, as well as just those really small and simple promptings that we get from the Spirit, those small and simple things. Because a lot of times I think that people, especially who are hearing about the gospel for the first time or who are wanting maybe to receive an answer about the truths that we're telling them, expect it to come in a really big and grand way. And I think they wait for that and it doesn't come. And I think that's frustrating. But I think when we recognize that so often, those little promptings, that voice in our head, that feeling in our heart, when we realize that that is the answer we've been receiving and we give credit to God for those things, I think what we find is that we are directed a lot more frequently by God than we think. And he really is such a bigger part of our lives. And we are receiving those answers a lot more often than we think.
Mm-hmm. I love what Irmana Duke said. I feel like a lot before my mission, I kind of separated the spiritual and the things with the natural man in my life. I was all like, oh, this is school, or this is family matters, or this is work, something with my job, so I don't have to seek revelation on this, or I won't receive revelation on this. And then with the matters that were spiritual, I always worked to grow in those areas. But I really love how this talk just focused on when we have Christ in our minds always, then we apply the gospel in every aspect. And as we work on just honing our abilities to listen to that Spirit, to listen to that revelation, we find that we do live in that revelation more and we receive it for every aspect of our lives.
And I love too just the quote that it says in this talk that says, filling our mind with the power of Jesus Christ does not mean that he is the only thought that we have. And I think this is something that I've at least personally experienced as a missionary. We talk a lot about consecrating ourselves and forgetting the natural man and being focused on Jesus Christ. It literally is our purpose. It's everything that we do. But I think that sometimes it's frustrating to have, you know, thoughts about home or thoughts about what happens before this mission or after this mission. But I think that the reality is that something I've been learning is how to make Jesus Christ the center of my thoughts, even if, you know, they're not related exactly to teaching someone or the gospel, you know, centering my thoughts of school and family life around Jesus Christ as well. And, you know, he doesn't have to be the only thought that we have, but I think focusing the thoughts that we do have on him and his love and his sacrifice, it makes him so much more present in our lives.
I'm going to share two thoughts in relation to that. As I read that part of the talk recently, where he talks about fixing our minds on Jesus Christ doesn't mean that he's exactly at the forefront of our minds always. I ran across a C.S. Lewis quote that I sent to my wife the other day that really impressed me. He said, "The homemaker has the ultimate career. All other careers exist for one purpose only, and that is to support the ultimate career, the homemaker." It sounds like something President Packer would say, right? And also when I thought about that, I thought of two other things. President Nelson, when he was talking about the Book of Mormon, he talked about how someone asked him a question, "Why do you Mormons live the Word of Wisdom?" Instead of trying to describe Doctrine and Covenants 89, he said, "Because we know the Book of Mormon is true." And anytime someone asked him why he did what he did in some tangential or, you know, extra thing that asked, "Why do you guys go to the temple? Why do you guys wear modest clothes? Why do you do this?" He always said, "Because I know the Book of Mormon is true." That, if we're not carefully thinking about it, we forget that is the powerhouse. That is the source of all of our other beliefs center on the Book of Mormon. It seems like a non sequitur, but it absolutely isn't. And then the last thought I had was in my previous Spanish branch back in North Carolina, there was this wonderful brother, Hermano Eduardo Claros. And this guy was amazing. This guy told us of a story of when we were talking about prayer, he read the scripture, it says to pray always. And so he literally kept a prayer in his mind and was praying for like 4 days straight. Every moment he was awake, he was praying as he was going about his activities. I'm like, you know, I can't do that. That's beyond me. And so it was comforting, like you said, when I read Elder Anderson saying that filling our mind with the power of Christ does not mean he's the only thought I have. He says, you go about your day. Your thoughts are always present because all that's in us adore him. When you go to work, why do you go to work? To support your family, to grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything that you do, everything from your hobbies, you develop yourself so you can become a more Christ-like person. Everything that you do really centers around the Savior. And I really love how Elder Anderson took the ordinary, the everyday, the daily grind even, and exalts it to this ennobling status of worshiping Christ. Now, this isn't easy. Later on, he quotes President Nelson. Sister Duke, do you want to read that President Nelson quote?
"There is nothing easy or automatic about becoming a powerful disciple. Our focus must be riveted on the Savior and his gospel. It is mentally rigorous to strive to look unto him in every thought. By focusing our attention on Jesus Christ, all else around us, while still present, is viewed through our love for him. Less important distractions fade, and we remove those things that are not in keeping with his light and character. As you continue to attentively catch hold of this thought of Jesus Christ, trust in him, and keep his commandments, I promise you not only heavenly guidance, but heavenly power, power that brings strength to your covenants, peace to your difficulties, and joy to your blessings."
What a promise that is. It's not easy to keep Jesus Christ at the center of what we do, but it is 100% worth it.
Absolutely. I love what you're saying about that, how like everything that we do in this life just centers back on families and back on God's plan for families. And I love this quote from the talk that said, "Remember, you are a spirit child of Heavenly Father. As the Apostle Paul explains, we are the offspring of God. You have lived with your own individual identity long before coming to earth." And this is something that always stands out to me about the story of Alma, honestly, is the fact that his mind did catch hold upon this thing that his father taught him. And I feel like sometimes we don't give enough credit to who we were before we came to earth, and the fact that we, like it says here in this quote, are offsprings of God, and that we came with all this knowledge that we gained before this life too. And I think that's really what helps us, and what I've seen in all of our friends that we're teaching, that when they're souls remember this, when they catch hold upon this gospel, and when they remember that this is what's correct and this is what's true, I feel like that's when they start to have Jesus Christ as the focus, and that's when they start to catch the vision that that's really is what is most important in this life, and what was most important in the pre-earth life, and what's going to be most important in the life to come. And that's something incredible for me to see, that when their mind does catch hold of this, they really do recognize that it's so important.
And it changes how you go through life. Elder Anderson, don't want to give him a promotion quite yet. Elder Anderson switches to telling a story. And anytime apostles share a story, I'm on my guard. I get a little defensive and a little antsy, not because I have a problem with the doctrine, but because usually it ends up with someone's going to be dead. And sure enough, this is what happens in this story. He talks about visiting this beautiful family, their precious family, beautiful image of the Savior, illustration of the temple. And then the mom dies of cancer. And this heartbreaking tragedy that he describes in the middle of that, they end up going to the temple. And I love this quote here at the end, where the husband, he says, Matt tenderly shared, "While I feel deep sorrow and grief, I am shouting for joy." I love the way he expressed that. While I feel deep sorrow and grief, I am shouting, present tense, for joy. He's feeling both things at the same time. How do you think that's possible?
In experiences I've had with the atonement, just with the gospel in my life, I feel like it's sometimes at our times when we're the lowest and we just feel so broken, like it says, this deep sorrow and grief, that when we're able to remember the Savior in those moments and feel that relief, even though we're not going to get rid of those feelings and sorrow, grief, we're not going to get rid of them just in that instance. And we're going to have to keep feeling those things and going through those experiences, because that's why we're here to learn. But I think what helps us to shout for joy in those moments is when we feel the Savior carrying us in those moments, and when we feel that He's felt and suffered all of our pains and afflictions too. And so even though we're going through these hard times, we don't have to do it alone. And I think that's what can bring us joy.
Gracias, hermana Hel. Hermana Duke.
I think that that's something kind of incredible that I've learned about just joy in general. I think that sometimes we think that the opposite of joy is grief or sorrow or pain. But as I've learned and studied about joy, I've realized that joy is the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, and it's understanding the atonement, and it's understanding His will. And it can exist even in times of sorrow and times of hardship, and it doesn't it doesn't contradict those feelings, but it can exist while we have those pains. And I think that's exactly what the Savior offers, and something that the world cannot replicate, is that peace and joy that we feel even in hard times. I cannot imagine anybody without this knowledge saying, when something so tragic like this happens, that they are joyful about this. You know, they're grieving but joyful. I can't imagine anyone saying that if they do not have that knowledge of Jesus Christ, their Savior, and the plan of salvation. And I think that really, just like Hermana Hal says, only comes from a knowledge of the Savior. And we do have to catch hold upon Him in those times, because if our thoughts wander anywhere else, we become hardened and we become angry and want to fight back. But when our minds immediately go to reach for the Savior, we can find joy and we can find solace in those moments too.
What I thought of when I read that was President Nelson's talk about joy. He made a promise. He said, "Joy has very little to do with the circumstance of your lives and everything to do with the focus of your lives." I found through my life that joy is often confounded by Satan in the world. He likes to conflate the synonyms of joy and happiness and pleasure, and they're all the same thing. And if you try and take away my pleasure, well, gosh darn it, you're taking away my joy. You're taking away my purpose in life. How dare you? But those are three different words with three different meanings. It is possible to experience joy, true, eternal, lasting joy, in the midst of depression, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of anger, in the midst of feeling even abandoned by God. I love this great quote. I forget where it is in the Bible. Don't hate me. Where it says that Jesus Christ went through the atonement for the joy that was set before Him. You think about it, the deepest, darkest pit of hell, right? He went through an infinite agony and suffering, and here the apostles are taking the word joy and covering it over with that. It's something that goes beyond just an emotional state.
And I would even argue to say that it is during those times where we feel the most joy. You know, it's only in darkness where a flashlight or a light bulb has the most stark contrast. You know, we can see a flashlight in the dark, but in the bright noonday, a flashlight does hardly anything. And so I think that it is, you know, we need that opposition. We need to feel grief. We need to feel pain. We need to suffer just a little bit, so that when we do have those, you know, light bulb moments when the Savior comes in, he is our light source, because that's how it's supposed to be.
Wonderful. And then Elder Anderson finishes with a beautiful testimony. And I love the wording in this. We know that apostles, they don't just have your normal everyday testimony. When you listen to Elder McConkie bear his very last testimony in General Conference, he said something very powerful.
I am one of his witnesses. And in the coming day, I shall feel the nail marks in his hands and in his feet, and shall wet his feet with my tears. But I shall not know any better then than I know now.
He had a sure witness that Jesus was the resurrected Christ. And Elder Anderson closes with one of these sure witnesses. He said, in this Easter season, I witness the complete and absolute truth of the Savior's incomparable atoning sacrifice and of his glorious resurrection. And so, as he closed with his testimony, sisters, I'd love for you to share your testimony.
I had this experience in college where it was the first time I had moved away from home, and I was like living far away from home. I couldn't go back. It was the first time I had moved out. It was the first time I was working and in college, and there were so many new things. And I didn't know anyone, and it was a new place, and I felt so alone. And it was a really hard time for me to go through, because I just kept feeling like no one understood how I felt, and I kept thinking that it wasn't going to get better. And I kind of felt similar to Alma, not maybe in the sins aspect, but in the aspect that I felt so far away and lost from everyone, and even at this time lost from God, just because I felt a little bit forgotten. And I had this experience where one night I was praying and I was just telling God all of this, because thankfully, like Alma, because of my parents, I knew that I could pray to God and be alleviated from this. But I was praying to him, and I was asking for him just to tell me why I had to be there, to tell me what the purpose was behind this. And I had an experience similar to Alma, where I just felt and heard the words so unmistakably in my brain that Jesus Christ was with me and that he had suffered for me. And that was really when I started to have a testimony of the fullness of the atonement in my life. I'd always grown up knowing that he'd suffered for my sins, and that because of that I could repent and be made clean. But I never understood that he could also alleviate me from my sorrows and from my pains and from my infirmities and everything. And so in that moment, when my mind caught hold upon that, when my mind caught hold upon Jesus Christ, I found that joy and I found that light, even though I was still suffering. And even though it didn't mean it got easier right away, it was so much easier when I found that if my mind was always centered on Jesus Christ, like we've been saying, I could still have that joy and I could still find that joy in everything. And the more I tried to reflect that joy and to make Jesus Christ and that joy an aspect of every part of my life just went uphill from there. And yeah, I can just testify of the truthfulness of the atonement and that Jesus Christ wants our minds to take hold upon these thoughts, and that he gets so excited when we remember who he is and all that he did for us, because that's when he can truly help us and change our lives.
Hermana Duke.
I just want to bear my simple testimony on Jesus Christ. I'm very grateful that Brother Watkins invited us to have this opportunity. I think even just in reading the words of these inspired servants of the Lord, that I have seen and felt my own mind being caught hold upon the thoughts of Jesus Christ. And I am always enlightened and inspired and humbled by these thoughts. I have been a missionary for a year, and I am still continuing to learn about my Savior, Jesus Christ. I think that it's the most humbling and an incredible experience that I've ever had in my life, is to set aside everything in my life and to lay hold of the thoughts of Jesus Christ. And as I have made him the center of my life, the center of my thoughts, the center of all that I have done, I have felt such an increase of peace. And I know that it is because he is the Christ. I know that it is because he is my Savior, and he is so incredibly willing to to bless us and to succor us and to help us. And I know that his hand is always extended to us. And what we need to do is just reach out back to him. And I know that the Book of Mormon is true. I have spent so many years studying it, but I think that the most tender and precious moments in the Book of Mormon that I've had has been probably in this last year of my life, where I've come to know and understand my Savior, and I know that it's true, and I know that these prophets who have been called to testify of him are called of God, and I leave these things with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And with that, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Conference Talk Podcast, partly en español. This episode, we discuss Elder Neil L. Anderson's talk, My Mind Caught Hold Upon This Thought of Jesus Christ. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get podcasts. You can find links to all our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org, where you can also follow us on social media, drop us a comment, check out the show notes, find the resources we mentioned in this episode, refer a friend to the missionaries, or learn more about Meet Your Host. If you want to follow me, Matthew Watkins, you can find me at powerinthebook.com. And big thanks to our podcast guests. You can find them on the streets, knocking doors and talking to people. Sister Duke and Sister Howell for joining us today. But remember, while we always appreciate new followers, it's better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves. Although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions. And join us next week for some of those good old personal opinions on the Conference Talk Podcast.